ॐ योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि. ऐ बौ टु दि एमिनेंट सेज पतञ्जलि हु रिमूव्ड इम्प्यूरिटीस् आफ् दि मैण्ड् थ्रू योग, ऑफ स्पीच थ्रू ग्रामर and of the body through medicine. Now we are coming to the practicality of the yoga or spiritual practice. In our last class we discussed Patanjali enumerates 9 obstacles to yoga. Come to think of it, they are not only obstacles to spiritual practice, they are also obstacles to the practice of dharma and also to the enjoyment of life. Now, according to Vedanta, all human beings are expected to attain to 4 values in life: dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And these 9 are obstacles to all the 4. You want to live a righteous life, you need tremendous amount of faith. You are sick, you cannot practice dharma, you cannot earn money, and much less you can enjoy anything, not to speak of spiritual life. So this is most interesting. Many people are not physically sick, but mentally. And many people, they are physically also sick. In these modern times, most people are sick. How many people are sick? According to an eminent social psychologist, 1/3 of the population is mentally sick. 1/3. Just imagine, we know so many diseases like autism. If I ask you, what are the prospects of these autistic children to attain to something worthwhile in life? Our categorical answer would be, live just for the sake of living, and nothing much can be gained in this life, like animals. So, we discussed this one. What are those obstacles? Sickness, laziness, doubts, lack of enthusiasm, sloth, craving for sense pleasure, false perception, despair caused by failure to concentrate, and inability to retain what was once achieved. So we also discussed what are those things, and yes, okay, these are the 9 obstacles. What can we do about them? How can we remove them? In this context, it is wonderful to know, you know, in the West, especially nowadays, and because the West is so much interested, even in India also, the what is called after effect is percolating, the practice of yoga. What do we mean by the practice of yoga? It means merely practicing certain types of postures, or at the best controlling the breath, which is called pranayama. These two have become very, very popular. In India also it is becoming very, very popular. In Bangalore there is one very popular guru, and he has coined a beautiful word, the art of living. He gives apparently, you know, how to meditate, how to progress in spiritual life. But most of the attention is given to singing bhajans and then practicing is a peculiar type of yoga. And you know what that yoga consists of mostly? In breathing in and out. Pranayama. Yogasana pranayama. This has become very popular. And when we think of Patanjali Yoga Sutras, hardly there is any mention about both these aspects, either about yogasanas or about pranayama. There are only 1 or 2 references, you know, that eightfold way, and he says asana, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, asana, pranayama. That is the extent. Here in this first chapter, which is called sadhana samadhipada, is he mentions just by regulating the breath one can also calm the mind, which we are going to see very shortly. What is the idea? If someone wants to progress in spiritual life, then he must have the correct type of instrument, not only the object which we want to experience, but also the instrument with which we have to experience that particular object. The instruments are body and mind. For making the body and mind fit instruments, asana and pranayama have been elaborately discussed. Later on, people have developed various varieties of pranayama, varieties of asanas, etc. But the end result to be achieved is progress in spiritual life, ending in God realization. Let us never forget that. So these 9 types of obstacles, what a wonderful thing it is. All these 9 types of obstacles, somehow we have to recognize them and we have to deal with them. When we study the life of Sri Ramakrishna and his teachings in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we come across most of these things. And interestingly, you know, Sri Ramakrishna used to look at a person and he could read not only his inside, his body too. And then he could say with definiteness, oh, this person is going to attain his goal and this person is never going to progress in spiritual life. He used to say, not that he wished that, he is simply saying the instrument is already born and that is going to be a great obstruction. Now, one interesting incident comes to my mind. One devotee came to see him and Sri Ramakrishna looked at him and said, this is a good boy, but he won't make much progress in life because he is very weak-bodied. Now, this kind of saying has a hidden meaning there. He is not predicting the future of the boy. He is in a way goading that devotee to take steps to remedy that situation. So this devotee got hurt. So he went, joined a gymnasium and developed muscles of iron and nerves of steel. And after Sri Ramakrishna had based Kurecha, you have done very well. So what is the effect if we are even troubled by one of these, not to speak of 9 of these, it is a great obstruction. What to speak of? If all the 9 come into our path, what would be our condition? And many times I do see we suffer from more than one type of problem. I also mentioned in this respect mental sickness. What is mental sickness? Not cherishing proper types of attitudes, proper types of thoughts, positive thoughts, and having self-confidence. In this respect, our devotees do surely recollect Swami Vivekananda's redefinition of a believer and a non-believer. He said, in the past, one who believed in God was called a believer. And he says, now, one who doesn't have faith in himself and claims that he has faith in God, he is not a believer at all. But one who says, I don't believe in God, but he has tremendous self-confidence, then he is a true believer. And this accords with the modern spirit also, because if one has that faith in oneself, not what is proposed nowadays by all the governments and public institutions, you boost your self-confidence, otherwise join a course, £300 only for one course. This is boosting of the ego, not boosting of the self. What Swamiji meant was that potential divinity. Yes, there is divinity within me, and we don't use the word divinity. We use the word that I have goodness within me. I have the capacity to be happy. I have the capacity to acquire knowledge. I have the capacity to be efficient. These are the manifestations of the potential divinity. So this is how Swami Vivekananda has done. In this connection also, you recollect, there was a time in the life of Swami Vivekananda when his father died. You know what happened when his father died? After that, his family had become poverty-stricken. the family which used to spend 1,000 rupees, let us say, 1,000 pounds in those days, and more than 150 years back, practically there was not even 1 pound. I'm just recollecting, when I was a boy, you know, my teacher, do you know how much salary he was getting? This is in 1950s. 90 rupees per clerk, 120 to 130 rupees per teacher per month. Now they are only talking lakhs. In those days, that family was reduced to that situation. Then, you know, he tried, Swami Vivekananda tried very much to get a job. But he could not, the teacher, who was supposed to be the world teacher, he was not given the job of a teaching. And he got with great difficulty some job. And Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, he removed him from the school. Just imagine how fate turns on its own head. Now, at that time, he became what is called depressed in a way. And not depressed really, the correct word would be, he seemed to have lost faith in all good things. And he started going to parties where there would be drinking and singing and all that. But he would not drink, mind you. At that time, somebody came and reported to Sri Ramakrishna sheerly out of jealousy, but showing sympathy. "Sir, we feel so bad that Narendra has gone to dogs." Actually, inside they are very happy because all the love Sri Ramakrishna was bestowing upon him, that part will come to us. That was their secret hope, which was shattered very soon. Ramakrishna said, "If I hear one more word from you, I won't look at your face." And he meant that. Why did Sri Ramakrishna do that? This is what Swami Vivekananda said. Because Sri Ramakrishna knew the inside, Narendra Nath was a born yogi. His behavior may not accord with outside standards, but his inside is full of divinity. He will never stoop to drink and then lose his morals. That's never going to happen. That's what is Swami Vivekananda meant. Self-confidence. So we lack some of these things. Doubts will come. Either why are we in, whenever especially we are in troubles, we lose job. Why is that we are not getting? Why is Ramakrishna, where has he gone? Has he gone to Australia? When is he going to return? And then look at my application. And then soon provide, etc., etc., etc. No. Where can God go? He is always with us. But the tremendous confidence, God is there to look after me. What is there for me? Even if I am drowned, still God is there. That kind of confidence is what is really needed. The most interesting part of this is, as I mentioned, even if we have one of these problems, then our life is blighted, so-called. Only few people, they are brave enough to stand up and face the truth and progress in even worldly life. So what would be the result of it? The result will be, first of all, it will be dukkha daurmanasya angamejayatva shvasa prashvasaha vikshepa sahabhuvaha. Grief, mental distress, tremor of the body, irregular breathing accompany non-retention of concentration. Concentration is not possible because of the 9 reasons. When concentration is not possible, these are the 4 results. What is the first thing? Dukkha. Dukkha means what? Profound grief in life in spite of wonderful circumstances. I recollect one beautiful incident. A man who lost his leg in an accident, he was naturally depressed. And he went out after a few months and he had only one leg. And he was hobbling along. And his face was dark. And then when he was going in the street, there was a beggar who was covered with a blanket. And his face was radiating cheerfulness. He said, "Sir, good morning, sir. How wonderful it is." This man scowled at him and then said, "What good morning? What are you nonsense you are talking about?" The man asked, "What is your problem?" He said, "Don't you see? God has taken away one of my legs. My life is ruined." The beggar said, "Is that a reason for you to be depressed? And first of all, are you going to get the new leg because you are depressed?" So the man was getting angrier still. And the beggars, laughing all the time, he removed his blanket. He didn't have two legs. Here is a man who is at least able to hop along, and here is a man who doesn't have lost both legs, who should be more depressed. In life we see many times that the circumstances which we think are extremely dark, depressing, are not really so. Compare yourself to millions of people who are in much, much worse situation in life. So, grief. Then mental, grief is physical, pain, etc. Mental distress, with our reaction to this situation, we may be depressed, we may be discouraged, we put to scowling face, darkened faces. That's why Swami Vivekananda tells something very, very deep and interesting. He says, any day you feel despondent, don't come out of the room. Lock the room so that nobody can look into your face. And then he says, the first sign of spiritual progress is cheerfulness. Cheerfulness will come. Really speaking, if you have that faith, God is there. And what is there for you to be so much depressed about? So this tremor of the body, when there is a disease, etc., tremor of the body shakes. This is one of the greatest obstacles, you know, weakness, tremor of the body. Or you are tired, you know, if you are coming from climbing an uphill, then also you feel the tremor. And then have you ever noticed when you are climbing down a steep hillock, after some time what happens to your knees? They start trembling. Not only that, I have seen some of our devotees, you know, if they are asked to get up onto the stage and then give a talk, then their knees will be knocking against each other. They are so nicely they talk outside, but the moment they are, what is the difference? After all, you know, instead of sitting there and talking, it happened to me also. But fortunately, my knees are quite apart, so they are not. Some people are knocked, they are called knock-kneed. They are so close together. And then, whenever we are in distress, a definite sign is the breath will be very, very irregular. That is why you notice irregular breath, any emotion that throws us into irregular breath, that's not good. Now, you will see there are two types there. When we hear a bad news, then naturally, you know, we feel the distress. But sometimes, when we hear the good news also, it can happen. Suddenly somebody, you are absolutely calm and quiet. Suddenly somebody, you have won £1,000,000 in lottery ticket. Did I tell you that joke? There was a man in America, his name was Bill. He used to buy lottery tickets. Many, many, many years passed. He did not win a single this thing. Once he had this heart problem, severe heart problem. He was recovering in the hospital. Before having this heart attack, he bought one lottery ticket and he won $1,000,000. Now his family is in trouble because already he has got heart problem. If this news is conveyed to him, then what is going to happen to them? So they devised a strategy that they will tell the cardiac doctor, you convey this news to our father gently. So the man agreed. One morning he went to visit him. Said, Bill, how are we doing? Oh, doctor, I am so grateful to you. I am recovering very nice. That, this and that. And then the doctor, supposing Bill, some news comes that you won $1,000,000 in the lottery ticket. What will you do? That man had lost all hope. So he said, doctor, if I win, then I will give you 50% of it. Hearing this, the doctor felt daunted. So, if suddenly you get good news or bad news, it affects us because emotionally we are very vulnerable type of people. That is why emotional steadfastness is an important characteristic of spirituality. Say Ramakrishna, at any time, what we call, you know, at the drop of a hat, he could enter into samadhi. Do you think it is such an easy thing? Just he forgets the whole universe and goes into samadhi because he practiced it. So, dukkha daurmanasya angame jayatva shvasa prashvasa vikshepa sahabhuvaha. Grief, mental distress, tremor of the body, irregular breathing accompany non-retention of concentration. In this connection, Vedanta also tells us, sorrow is of three kinds. Adhyatmika, that is arising from within oneself. Adhibhautika, inflicted by some other creature outside. Adhidaivika, through natural calamity. Sorrow is that which upsets creatures who try for its removal. It's a beautiful definition is given. What is sorrow? What is the definition of sorrow? Have you ever thought, what is there to give definition? I feel unhappy and I feel unhappy. I want to overcome it. That is the definition. What is the definition? That which we struggle to get rid of, that is called sorrow. And that which we try to retain in spite of many obstacles, that is the opposite of sorrow. Our life goes in getting out of sorrow and trying to get some amount of happiness or whatever it is. So dejection can be caused through the non-fulfillment of desire or when wished for things do not happen. This upsetting of bodily equilibrium or steadiness results in shakiness of the body. The ordinary process of taking in the breath and exhaling the same is also associated with mental distraction. These disturbances generally take place in a distracted state of mind. They do not appear in a reposeful mind. Okay, so what can we do? What is the remedy? And here comes a most wonderful hint or practical guidance which is applicable irrespective of religion, race, belief, etc., etc. It says only two things. What is that? Tat pratishedartham eka tattva abhyasaha. For the removal of these obstacles, for the practice of the concentration of mind, then practice concentration upon a single truth. Eka tattva abhyasaha. Practice, concentrate, focus upon one single truth. What do you mean by one single truth? It means two things. Earlier, if we remember, by self-effort, we can progress in spiritual life. And if we are incapable of progressing, what is the remedy, alternative? Ishvara Pranidhana. Surrender yourself to God. What do you mean by surrendering yourself to God? Japaha. Through the repetition of the name of God with devotion. What a wonderful thing. What happens when we repeat the name of God? What is name? We also discussed quite elaborately. The name and the named are one and the same. So when we are repeating the name of God, we are actually meaning God. Om, for example. Om is the symbol of God. Both impersonal as well as impersonal. That covers everything. And why Om covers everything, that also we discussed. Now, important thing is, what happens when we go on repeating the name of God? By repeating the name of God, all these obstacles will be removed. Here, slight elaboration is needed. What is the cause of all these obstructions? Disease, for example. What is the cause of a disease? What is the cause of mental laziness? What is the cause of disbelief, doubt? What is the cause of it? There must be a cause. If this is the effect, there must be a cause. What is the cause? Bad karma. Bad karma. And the result of karma is inevitable. Already we have done these karmas. And as a result we are getting these effects which are not good. How can we get rid of it? Through the grace of God. Because the grace of God is an antidote for all these things. How can we get the grace of God? By repeating the name of God with faith, regularity and this. I will give one instance. I already had given you in the past, but I will give an instance. There was a man who had terrible skin disease. And he tried various methods to get rid of it. He could not. And he came to Swami Adbhutananda in Varanasi. Swami Adbhutananda took pity upon him and said, "My son, you can get rid of this disease. Would you like to? Would you like to?" He said, "Yes, of course. Then you stay with me." The description was so wonderful. The skin disease was so bad that foul smell was emanating from his body. And even his own family people did not allow him to stay in the house because of that foul smell. Whereas Swami Adbhutananda cheerfully not put up. He also sometimes put up. No, cheerfully said, "You stay in my room," as though it did not bother him at all. And then he told him, "Get up in the morning, go to the Ganges, take bath, go to the temple of Lord Shiva, and you drink the water which is used for washing. You know, we pour water on Lord Shiva." And interesting, Hindus, they know that water has to go somewhere, and it will be going from the room because it is not a small amount of water. And bucketfuls of water is poured from morning till evening. All that water, if it is there, it will be flooded. So that for the passage of the clearance of the water, there is a channel and it goes outside. And many devotees, they go outside, put their hands, and then they drink that water with faith. So you drink that water, that's what we call, we put it after puja, what do we do? Keep the water here. We call it tirtha, charanamrita. Drink that and then eat. There is a leaf called bilva leaf. It is supposed to be very sacred to Lord Shiva. You eat that and you will be cured of everything. The man did exactly as the Swami directed, and within a short time he became hale and healthy, and all the diseases disappeared and everything. Now this news slowly spread. Then others also suffering from other kind of disease started coming to Latu Maharaj. He said the same thing he said. Early morning you go, take bath in the Ganges, because you know Hindus believe taking bath in the Ganges, it washes away all the sins. Do you understand what is the meaning of sin? This is what we are discussing. The result of karma. It washes away the result of bad karma. And we don't need to suffer. This is our faith. Sri Ramakrishna reaffirms it. And then he tells one, just suppose there is a blind man. Why was he born blind? Because of some wrong deeds, evil deeds he committed in the past. So what should he do? He should go and take bath in the Ganges. Will his sight come back? He said no. Because that is prarabdha karma. Already the effect has started. That won't go. But if he had any remnant karma where he has to be reborn again with these defects, he won't be born. And then there are other people who came. And their problem was different. A poor man had come. He had no disease, but he wanted money. What did Swami Adbhutananda prescribe? He said, "Go early morning, take bath, go to the Lord, drink that water offered to him, and then eat that bilva leaf and repeat the name of Lord Shiva. You will get money." But in this case, unfortunately, the man was probably expecting to win a lottery ticket. He didn't have that faith. And Swami Adbhutananda, unfortunate fellow, he could have become a rich man. If you remember, a devotee came to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna asked him, "What do you wish?" And he said, "I want money." He said, "Okay." In this case, he did not prescribe bilva leaf. But you know what he said? He said, "Bring jalebi. And not you will eat, I will eat. If I eat jalebi, you will become rich. And when after you become rich, you can eat jalebi morning, afternoon, night, every time you can eat." And he became one of the... Is it only one case? Or can it happen to us also? Can it happen to us? You must have that faith. It is possible. That is why I also mentioned, perhaps I mentioned, I don't remember. You know, in the Vedas, Vedas have to provide both for the Abhyudaya and Nisraisa, for worldly happiness as well as spiritual happiness. Spiritual happiness, all these things are there. Wonderful books. The later part of the Vedas called Jnanakanda. But what about worldly people? Some people want children. Some people want money. Some people want destruction of the enemies or wicked people. So many desires are there in this world. Some people want rain, water. Some people, it is too much. Ativrishti and anavrishti. Kshama, famine is going on. So there must be remedies. There are remedies. That's why Sri Shukta. I told you, mentioned about Sri Shukta. There is a hymn. It is addressed to Mother Lakshmi. Hiranyavarnam Harinim Suvarna Rajatasrajam Chandram Prabhasam Jalantim. It's a beautiful hymn apart from its effect. And if one recites it, by the grace of the mother, he can also get it. No doubt about it. Have no doubt. Even if you have doubt, give a provisional faith. Okay, let me see whether it works or not. The law of karma, it will work. Coming back to our subject, what is the subject now? If anyone is suffering from any of these problems, they are the effects and they must have causes. What are the causes? Evil actions done in the past. But they have been done. What can we do now to remedy? Is there a remedy? Yes. What is the remedy? Repeat. Get the grace of God. By the grace of God, anything can happen. Don't have any doubt. Who said that? Holy Mother said. What did she say? If a person is destined where a plowshare was to go through him, by the grace of God, it will be a pinprick, because they have the power to get rid of the effects of karma. They can break the law. He who makes the law can also break the law. So, by the grace of God. How does one obtain the grace of God? Repeat the name of God. By the repetition. That is what he is telling. Eka tattva abhyasaha. Practice one truth. What is that one truth? There is only one truth. How many truths are there? According to Vedanta, how many truths are there? Truth is only one. And that manifests, that truth manifests in this world as various truths, scientific truth, psychological truth, physiological truth, social truth, political truth, etc., etc., etc. How many knowledges are there? Only one knowledge. And that manifests as scientific knowledge, as cookery knowledge, any knowledge that you can think of is a manifestation of that original knowledge. It's a very important subject. Let us keep this. We will proceed and then come. So how do we counter these obstacles? First, by the repetition of God's name. What happens? That is a most wonderful, what is called antidote karma for all the bad karmas. By the repetition of God's name, it is said, Tulasidas used to say, utter the name of Rama once, koti koti millions of papas will just get destroyed. Is it a word? Is it a hyperbole? It is the truth. We have to practice. Practice and see what is going to happen. Eka tattva abhyasaha. These obstacles can be removed by the practice of concentration upon a single truth. That is to say, the truth of God's existence. God has many aspects, and so there are innumerable approaches to Him. Undisturbed calmness of the mind is attained by cultivating friendliness towards the happy, compassion for the unhappy, delight in the virtuous, and indifference toward the wicked. This is the next aphorism we will discuss. But introduction to this aphorism is, okay, you repeat God's name, but you also have to live your life. How are you going to live your life? What do you mean by going to live your life? Means in day-to-day life, everything will not be pleasant. Morning it was cloudy. Now it was in the afternoon, it became very bright and cheerful, don't you see? And some days it will be dark and dingy. Some days it will be wonderful. You can see the effect of it. Some days you yourself feel very bright. Some days you feel dull. Some days you feel very healthy, very strong, very energetic. Some days the opposite. Sometimes events, good events take place. Sometimes bad events take place. Nobody is shielded from this. Nobody should be shielded from them. Because it is only by facing this when we can know how to overcome them or live in spite of them. Not because of absence of them, but in spite of them. And that's the way God has provided enough of these exercises so that we can grow. But what does God's grace do? It gives us that understanding. It is for the right understanding, let me dwell a moment upon this, right understanding that the most ancient prayer is given to us. One of the most ancient prayers, thousands of years old, repeated daily by millions of Hindus every single day. Do you know what that is? Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra. What is the Gayatri Mantra? O Lord, we meditate upon you. May you guide our understanding. You guide our understanding. And Bhagavad Gita picture is the graphic illustration of this Gayatri Mantra. We meditate upon you and you guide our understanding. So Arjuna is sitting in the chariot. Who is the driver? Sri Krishna. And what is that chariot? It is the right understanding. O Lord, so long as I sit as the driver, I have no knowledge. Where am I? Where from did I start? Where am I going to go? And through which type of paths I am going to go, we do not know. In this connection, just to remind you, because always my mind thinks about Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna's, what happened? Did he say something? You know, Swami Vivekananda, he came to see Ramakrishna. From where did he come? From the realm of the Khanda. Individually, he was a great rishi. Saptarshi Bhuvanadinda. Iligilidu Banda. Vivekananda, Sri Guru Devana Kanda. Wonderful song is written by a great soul in Kannada language. Saptarshi Bhuvana. Sri Ramakrishna brought him. But when he assumed a human body, he did not know what for he was. He simply said, Ramakrishna said, come with me. And he came. He did not explain to him how long is he going to stay, what he is going to go through. He never explained anything. But Sri Ramakrishna knew everything, you know. After the second or third visit, he takes him to Shambhu Malik's garden house, and then there he touches him, makes him unconscious, and tells, who are you? Why did you come? How long are you going to stay? What are you going to accomplish? Every single event he is going to accomplish from birth to death, he extracted that information. Now tell me, who is the big brother? Who is the biggest brother? So, after that, he made a remark also. Nobody can be compared to my Naren. First. Second, he predicted, this boy will not live for a long time. He knew everything. The moment he comes to know who he is, he will give up his body. He knew. But what about this poor Narendranath? Did he know? He did not know anything. He did not even know where is the, not to speak of what is going to next. He went to, he landed in Chicago, and he did not know which way to turn to reach the building of Parliament of Religions. He lost, so-called, apparently lost, is not really, is all necessary. So Ramakrishna arranged, but he never revealed it at that time. So many things have happened. We don't know. But Narendra's life was a triumphant progress. Why, you know, he surrendered himself to Sri Ramakrishna. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna sat in the driver's seat and then he drove. That is what we are also supposed to do. When we surrender ourselves, O Lord, you give me right understanding means what? You are the right understanding. You drive my life. You guide my life. I don't know what to do. Everything will be absolutely fine. This is the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. By repeating the name of God, we have to surrender ourselves to Him and say, O Lord, you know better than me. So you please guide my life. And believe me, everything will come, what to do, what not to do. But what is the point I am mentioning? The point is, whether it is Sri Ramakrishna or Swami Vivekananda or Tom, Dick, Harry, as they say, everybody has to go through days and nights, diseases, health, good event, bad event. So, by the grace of God, certain attitudes we develop. What is spiritual life? What is spiritual life? It is a certain way of looking both at ourselves and also at the world. That's why it is said that the right type of relationship with ourselves, with the world and with God is called spiritual life. You know, what is spiritual life? there are only three things in this world: I, the world, and God. What is the relationship, interrelationship between me and the world, and God and the world and me? Triangle. And what is spiritual life? You have the right type of understanding so that I can have the right type of attitude towards these two. So what is the my relationship with God? I am related to God. I am a relative. God's relative. And wherever there is a will, wherever there is a will, there is a relative. So where we have a will, therefore we have a relative. And our only relative is God. And then you come down and say, whatever is there, this world belongs to whom? It belongs to God. God manifesting as me and the world. Therefore, my attitude should be, this world is also spiritual. I am also spiritual. God is also spiritual. And that is called the right understanding. So, we must have the right attitude, not only with regard to persons, but with regard to events. Persons and events. This is spiritual life. Having surrendered ourselves to God, what is the next step? Oh Lord, you are gracious enough. You have given me right understanding. That right understanding, right understanding must be exercised in day-to-day life. And means, how do I exercise? I have the right attitude. And what is the right attitude? Here is the 33rd aphorism is so beautifully putting it out. Maitri Karuna Mudita Upekshanam Sukha Dukha Punya Apunya Vishayana Bhavana Atah Chitta Prasadanam. Friendship, mercy, gladness and indifference. Being thought of in regard to subjects, happy, unhappy, good and evil respectively, pacify the chitta. It's a beautiful aphorism. What is yoga? Let us recollect. What is the definition of yoga? Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Means what? Yoga is absolute calmness of the mind, so that in the most calm mind, the reflection of God is clearly seen. And what is God's reflection? My reflection. My reflection is God's reflection. God's reflection is my reflection. There is absolutely no difference. So any event in life, any person in life that disturbs this balance, we have to remedy. You can't change the world. We have to change our reaction. Patanjali divided people into four categories. Sri Ramakrishna divided people into four categories. Our ancient Vedas divided people into four categories. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Sri Ramakrishna divided people into four categories. The ever-free, those who are bound, and those who are struggling, and after those who after struggle become liberated. Four categories. Patanjali, in his own beautiful way, divided people into four categories. Who are they? This is happy people, unhappy people, good people and evil people. What a marvelous psychological division. We will discuss it in our next class. But here it is. Happy people. Are happy people good people? Are good people happy people? There is a relationship. But people can be happy, but may not be good. They are punya karmis, what we call, is unhappy people. There are people, unhappiness. These have nothing to do with having things. People having things also can be profoundly unhappy. People having practically nothing can be also be very, very happy. Then there are people, good people, and there are also evil people. Now what is important for us, don't expect everybody to be good. We don't care people are unhappy people, we instinctively avoid. Do you know? Unhappy people, you instinctively avoid. You know who are unhappy people? The people who bore you are unhappy people, according to you. And you will do everything in your power to avoid them. Is it not a fact? Yeah. So, happy people, unhappy people, good people, and there are also evil people. Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna is such a profound scripture. Yes, one of the questions very frequently put to him was, why did God create evil? Yes, who created evil? You know, there are some scriptures which say God did not create evil. Who created evil? Devil created evil. Satan created evil. The point is, who created Satan? Is it not? God only. Ultimately, the agencyship goes only to God. So why did God create evil? It's a profound question. God wants to take revenge upon us. God wants to see us, you know, what is called barbecue us. He takes delight in barbecuing us. No. What is called good is also good. What is called evil may be even more good for our development, taken in the right way. God can never create evil. But this so-called evil, it is there for a particular purpose. That is so hard for us to understand. So many people lose faith only on this point. Why did God create evil? Why is there so much of evil? Why is it so many people have to be, you know, for example, Nazi concentration camps? Millions and millions of people have been gassed, exterminated, tortured endlessly, beyond human endurance, and all those things. Incidentally, I can ask you one question. Has that disappeared now? Was it only about 1940s that happened? Or is it still there? It is still there in many, many virulent forms. It has not disappeared. The devil is not going to disappear. Because if devil disappears, then our goodness also will disappear. It is a profound truth, but keep it in mind. So, Patanjali divides people into four categories. Happy, unhappy, good and evil. And sooner or later, today or tomorrow, invariably, here or somewhere, we are going to encounter them. How are you going to deal with it? If you want to keep your mind absolutely calm and quiet and undisturbed and point like this, navig compass pointing to the northern star, so that our ship can go to the other shore, then we have to develop a particular attitude. And that attitude is called Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha. Friendliness, compassion, indifference and gladness. What these are, we will discuss in our next class. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.